just live record, we can.
One second.
All right, we are live. Call to order. Welcome everyone to March 11th Downtown Advisory Board meeting. Thanks for joining us. So let's start with taking a roll call. Aaron Turpin. All right, you're. Lynn Nishioka.
Present.
Brad Kahn.
Present.
Tyson Giza.
Here.
Josh Kay, here. Vincenzo Maduri.
He said he might be late.
Okay. Scott McCloud.
I'm here.
Jordan Trubin.
Here.
And Charles Weathers.
Here.
Okay. Well, prior to the approval of the agenda, I've been asked to add an item to it, the UGM Safran RFP update, as an information reporting topic for today's meeting. So, Cherie, do we need to approve that?
Yes, as part of your approval of the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, so all those in favor of adding UGM Safran RFP to as an information report for today's meeting, say aye.
Aye. Would you like me to make that motion?
Excuse me, it needs to be a motion.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a board member has to make a motion.
The motion on the floor is to add the UGM Safran RFP update as an information report.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not really like a formality kind of person, but I just remember as being the board chair, it's kind of annoying that you have to initiate motions, but you can't make them.
I was reviewing
it. Doing you a favor. I make the motion as stated.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Tyson. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
And all those opposed, say no. None. Motion carries. Thank you, Aaron. I'm sure I'll actually learn how to do this.
Oh, no.
Okay, so moving forward, pulling up my files here for our agenda. And thank you, Anita, for getting the budget out before the meeting, the updated budget. Appreciate that. Okay. Now, approval of the minutes from our February 25th meeting.
Move to approve.
Aaron moves to approve.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Tyson.
Yeah.
Motion carries. So, action items now. Towards,
I think you need to do all of them. Yeah. We have to vote.
Yeah, you have all in favor, Josh, for the minutes.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion carries. We have approval of the minutes. So, now we're on to action items. For the 21-22 Riverfront Downtown Renewal Budget Recommendation to Agency Board. So, Sheree, you want to kick us off?
I can do that. So, on March 3rd, I sent you all an email with the budget that Anita sent you again today. And basically, in that email, I told you that the budget included the following changes that you guys had discussed at the last meeting, and then one that we hadn't discussed but I was updated on. So one was a 1.5 million increase in streetscape. That was based on my conversations with public works staff about them having the capacity to expand the scope to be both sides of a street going forward in our phases. The second one was increasing the adaptive reuse consulting services budget by $50,000. And then the one that you had asked for as far as removal of the Marion Parkade glass replacement project. The recommendation for that was because we're probably going to have some ideas that come out of the Parkade consulting services. And then the other one that I think is gone is the Lou, the Portland Lou, should be gone. Yes, the Portland Lou, after all this was done, I was told that because the Parks Department is struggling with just doing the maintenance on what they already have for public restrooms in parks, that they couldn't take on another project like the Portland Lou, so it's removed from the budget. Other than that, everything's exactly the same as what we discussed at the last meeting. So everything that you suggested has been incorporated, and then that additional removal of the Portland Lou. Any questions? So basically, I need someone to make a motion to move forward a recommendation of this budget to the agency board for consideration.
I so move that we move this budget forward.
Second.
All right, the motion on the floor is to move this budget forward as proposed. So all those in favor say aye or yes.
Aye.
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 All those opposed say no. Motion carries. Thanks for all your work on this, Sherry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. You had some great ideas. And again, unlike the other budget that we had to talk about, this one is very positive, and I appreciate all your support. So the other item I wanted to talk to you about under information reports is what I sent you yesterday. And basically, as I shared in my memo, I had a subcommittee of Tyson and Linda, who I met with last year, and we came to the board with giving you some background information on, you know, what an RFP is, what that process looks like, in anticipation of moving it forward for redevelopment for the UGM Saffron site. And so I've been working on that, and I wanted to check back in with you on a couple things that have changed a little bit from what you gave me for your priorities, because you might remember that you all completed a survey and then we ranked them all. And then we took a look at the scoring to look at what you guys had consensus on regarding what you felt was most important to make sure that we incorporated into the RFP in regards to expectations. So I've done that to the best of my ability, but there's two things that are a little bit of a disconnect from what we talked about, and I wanted to talk to you about those. One of those is I put in here as one of the objectives for the site that the housing component include a minimum of 20% affordable housing at an average of 80% median family income. We had talked about wanting to be as broad as possible and not prescriptive, if we could, in order to throw the net as wide as we could to encourage people to solicit this. I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. As you know, UGM is currently a shelter. And because it's currently a shelter, it would make sense to some that it continue to be a shelter, because we continue to be in need of housing for homeless. Again, I think I'm trying to be as transparent and honest as possible, but I went through it with building and safety and with the fire department, and once UGM moves out, we could move 100 people in there again, 100 more people, as and use it as a shelter. So what I'm proposing here, even though it's different than what we talked about as far as adding the requirement for affordable, I'm trying to make sure that we're capturing the goals that council has in regards to coming up with housing options, but have it as minimal as possible to not negatively impact the vision for the site. Is this making sense to everybody, I hope?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that one is different than from everything that we talked about. The brother or sister part to that is we also talked about, we've talked about this several times, our goal to, when we do new construction, to have it be on the tax rolls. So putting in an element of affordable housing opens it up to partnerships with a housing authority or a nonprofit that typically do not pay taxes. And so I guess my piece on that is every one of the most recent housing projects that we've done has gone in and is working to get the multiple unit housing tax incentive program, which means your taxes are, you don't pay taxes for 10 years for the housing component of the project. The analysis of that always shows that we really reap the benefits in year 11 after giving them the ability to stabilize themselves and be successful when they go back on the tax rolls. But I bring it up in that, obviously, if in fact this is developed in some type of a structure that has a nonprofit, there could be that element of not contributing to the tax rolls. We can also try to take a look at what they did when they did the building that Salem Alliance Church has up on Broadway, because Salem Alliance Church is obviously a nonprofit and doesn't pay taxes. One of the conditions of the agreement when they were selected to develop that site was they had to have tenants on the ground floor that did pay taxes. So again, that's been done before, and that's something that we could consider as we move this forward. Did everybody get a chance to read this? Is it feeling like, am I meeting your expectations of how I wanted to speak about about what we wanted there?
I browsed through it, Sheree, and frankly, it exceeds expectations from my standpoint. I mean, this is really thorough, and I'm sure the actual RFP is going to be pretty thick.
They're big, but I really wanted to, again, because I'm being asked to take this in front of the agency board before I move it forward, to make sure that what I have for objectives are going to be supported, because again, 20% affordable, 80% is probably the minimum that you could do to actually say you want to have affordable housing if in fact there's people that would like it to be a shelter. So I need to check in with them before I go any further, because these documents are big, to make sure that this is going to be something that they support too. Kristen feels confident that it will be, but that's why I can't really give you a perfect timeline, because I need to do that first and then I'll take off running. I also put in here, you probably noticed that who's ever selected needs to build into their timeline coming back and, you know, checking in with you. Obviously, I can give you updates, but I wanted to make sure that they acknowledge that you're a part of this too.
Thank you. It looks great. Oh. I think it looks great, Sheree. I was just going to comment, first a question. How much, again, did we agree to pay for this property? I have a number in my mind, but
Oh, you know, Erin, that's a really good question, and I didn't even think about, obviously, we've already bought saffrons.
Well, it's okay. It was a lot of money.
Saffrons.
Yeah.
And I think and that must have been over $2 million, because there's 10 parcels in total to all of this project, and then UGM is about $2 million too. And I'm gonna be honest with you now that I'm up to my eyeballs in looking at this, because I think one of you asked me this question when we were looking at the budget last time. ABC Music's building is sandwiched between two of our parcels. So it's probably hard to realize that, because it's like five parking spaces right at the alley, on east of the alley. And then you have ABC Music, and then you have Saffrons. And so I had a real frank conversation with Kristen about that was going to be weird. That would be really weird. And so, of course, as you know, certain things are confidential until they go in front of the agency board. But the question that was asked at the last meeting about the use of our acquisition funds and how we might, I mean, the Emerson's building is different because it's kind of on the other side of Putney's, but this one sandwiched, that would just be really awkward.
No, that's what I wanted to make a couple points about the, I don't know, from my standpoint, downtown is making, and the URA is making a huge investment in the new shelter, which we've supported in many ways, and it's going to be great. But as the largest UGM, as far as I know, in the nation, at least in the on the West Coast, I think we have a good number of beds, shelter beds downtown, and so I'm just kind of making a general comment about for our city as a whole, for downtown's health, and also for the health of those who are looking to be sheltered, who need to be sheltered, I think it would be better to spend money in other parts of the city to provide shelter rather than continuing to concentrate too many people in one location. It's not good for our city as a whole. It's not good for downtown. It's not good for those people. It's not good for them all to be herded into one small area of our city. The other point, though, that I wanted to make was that I don't think that would be a good use of money or property to retain that as a shelter. And we could buy a shelter for a much lower cost on much cheaper dirt in other parts of the city. Downtown is you know, some of the most desirable land to develop. So I guess I'm just saying I would be strongly opposed to the concept of retaining that as a shelter in the long term.
That's well said, Erin. I can appreciate the pragmatism of saying there's a shelter there, it's now become available. But if you just look at the objectives for site development on page 2, this whole process leading up to this point served as a catalyst and model for the revitalization and redevelopment of key formerly underutilized sites. So the whole philosophy behind this is to redevelop the site, just to repurpose it for the original purpose. It's just counterintuitive. So I have a very diplomatic version.
So the constraints that Cherie is now under, it is because the city council is focusing in on ways to mitigate homelessness and trying to find shelters. She has to
try to add a bit of this information so that it can be acceptable. And so that is, that's what Cherie is so, you know, she's really trying to fulfill what the politicians are requesting and what the agency board is probably to really look at. And she's been kind of encouraged that the 20% that she's saying may be able to be accepted. So this was something that she and I did discuss at our subcommittee meeting. And I think that she has skillfully devised a way to fulfill some of the political requests. I guess would be the best way to say it. I don't know, Cherie. I think everybody's understanding what I'm saying. So I think that we all agree that we would not like to see homeless housing go there, but housing that might be appropriate for a lower income. And then that meets some of the criteria that the city is trying to fulfill. At any rate, not well said, but at least I think you get the gist, the gist of what I'm trying to say.
Again, I really wanted to, because I know this is very important, this is a key project for us, so I wanted to make sure that I showed you where I was going and what I want to represent as far as our expectations for what we would like to see redeveloped there. And if you guys thought I was, I really tried hard to take all of those items that were in the, that were scored and ranked and represent them in here in some way. But if any of you felt that I missed something, I wanted to give you a chance to put that out there for us to talk about.
I apologize. I'm trying to find this packet. I don't know. I can't find it in my emails. I can find the agenda for today, but I don't know exactly which one we're looking at right now. Anita, would you be able to send that over to me?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
So basically, Vincenzo, we're talking about what we would like somebody who's interested in buying the UGM Saffron site. Basically, what we're talking about are those things that we want them to think about and build into their projects to be selected as the successful candidate. That's what it is. So basically what Josh was talking about, there's like 8 objectives, key objectives that we want to see somebody incorporate or think about when they give us a project for the UGM Saffron sites. So that's what he's referencing. So basically it's me touching base on those things that you guys scored on back in September that said were important to you to see. And then I did more just because you guys were generous to give me some. And then I just added some additional details to those elements. But again, what wasn't in there was what I was talking about as far as the affordable housing. And that's what Linda's talking to.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
So, I'm sorry again, Josh. So if we can approach it where we're saying 20% affordable housing, that's a wide range. And this way, the agency board might say, yes, this is great, instead of saying, we want the whole site as a homeless shelter. So we need to, I think, my recommendation is that we would move this memo forward as Cherie has creatively written, because I think it will touch the basis that they're wanting, but still leave it quite, or at least open-ended enough that
and hopefully see a development that would only utilize that 20% of affordable housing.
And we don't need a motion or anything. Nope. You're just, okay.
No, basically, if you guys are okay with this, the next thing for me will be to put it in the staff report and take it to the agency board. So thank you so much for reading it and understanding what the couple things that are different. And I will keep you posted as I move it along. I mean, the good news is that I already have received emails from people that are interested in responding to the RFP once it's posted. So it doesn't really get better than that. I have like 5 or 6, and a lot of them are very sophisticated, very experienced housing developers. That doesn't mean we don't have those local, but I haven't, it's not really local. It's out of the area, which is kind of exciting in some ways too. So
that's really good.
It's a
encouraging.
I mean, the thing that's interesting is that, like all things, it seems like when somebody goes to do a project, this particular site, like I said, has 10 parcels, and it's in the Central Business District, which is great because that's a very broad zoning. It allows a lot, but on the east side of the alley is an overlay for retail office, and with that comes design standards. And on the west side of the alley is Front Street overlay that has design standards. So I see Aaron, yeah, okay. So, you know, that in itself will be interesting for somebody to navigate through, because every overlay you have, actually I think the Front Street overlay was, because you had that for Paul's project, didn't you, Aaron? Yeah, that's where we found out that the streetscape standards were not in that bound, were not part of that overlay. But you were nice enough to incorporate them anyway, even though technically you did not have to. So I'm not a developer.
Yeah, it wasn't me, it was Paul.
It was Paul, yeah. And well, Paul's lived close to
him. No, it's great.
He's a nice guy. So it's interesting to see how those things play out also.
Yeah.
It's also in the historic district, so there's
no. Think it's not. Thank goodness.
Oh, it's not. Oh, that's good. Okay.
No. Yeah. That. Yeah. It's not in the historic district. So again, I know you're in Hawaii, Linda. So we're going to make this a fast meeting for you. So I don't need any action on that. And does anybody have anything to share in the what's happening downtown?
I actually had another question on this.
Okay, sorry, Josh.
No, it's okay. And Linda, if you need to go at any time, you can take off. You mentioned the design standards, and that's really not where I live, at least. I'm more on the analysis of what would be highest and best. That's really Aaron's field. But I know one of the biggest inhibiting factors in an urban environment is kitchens. Is there any height restrictions, and does it differ on east or west of the alley within those two overlays?
I don't know, but that's, I'll add that to my list, because the more I get, because, you know, that's not, like you, that's not my wheelhouse. There's another department, but I will be interested in learning as much as I can, just because I want this to be successful, because intuitively, that would be strange, that I couldn't build the same.
Sorry. I'll interrupt. I don't think there's a height restriction, at least not in the on the Front Street overlay zone and also Central Business District, same zoning as the courtyard. There's no height restriction.
There we go. See? That's why it's nice to have the right board members. Thank you.
I thought no higher than the Golden Man.
That's just a
urban floor.
Yeah, doesn't exist.
Well, that's great, because the higher you can can go, and I'm not saying Salem could support a skyscraper, but, you know, it's all relative. But you'd like to see a mix. You know, the office environment right now, office leasing environment, is going through a adjustment period. And retail is still kind of also going through its own evolution. But we know from public survey data that a grocery store is really desired. But that's serious space and expensive space. And like we talked about in our last meeting, home ownership, besides just rental apartments, is should be a priority too. People to actually own the space that they're in. But developers, it sounds like you're already getting good traction or at least feedback. Even before, I mean, it looks like it's estimated to go out the RFP June 2021, which is coming up here really quickly. Developers have a really pragmatic way of seeing what will pencil for them. So really excited about this, Sheree. It's just awesome work.
Yes, obviously I work right here and I look at that every day. But again, it's in such a good location with respect to exposure to West Salem and everything else. I think it could really pop some stuff if it's done right. So I'm very excited about it also. So now, Josh, you want to hit the next item for me?
Sure.
On the agenda.
My agenda, I've got three screens here. They're hiding behind this. What's happening downtown?
So anybody have anything happening?
Aaron, I really liked your the structure, the roofing structure in the park. Nice.
Yeah, it's exciting to see it go up. I can see it right here. The tensile fabric roofing is set to go on in the next few weeks. So not this coming week, but the week after, their crews will be out there getting started. Might take them a while to get all the rivets and connection points all put in there, and then the fabric will start going on. So
the framing structure is impressive.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Question about that, and this is probably a question that I should have asked a while ago, but I was looking at the ground plans and whatever that, because apparently I'm a bit of a I just wanted to double check. Is there like an awning for rain protection, or is it open?
A tensile fabric roof that is waterproof. So, if you've been to the Denver airport, that seems to be the example that most people remember. It has, they have like kind of like, they're supposed to be kind of like mountains, but anyway, yeah. It's like a whitish tensile fabric that actually does shed water. So it's basically a stage cover is what it is.
Yeah,
so,
I just wanted to double check because I was, it was something that I guess I've had in my mind for a long time, and I figured you guys had thought about that, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it rained a lot here, so.
Yeah. The thought is that, Vincenzo, if you had a smaller event, say, you know, 100 people or so, they could all actually sit under the cover itself, and you could have a small sort of event.
Yeah, and I've already gotten in contact with the people who are, you know, booking it and whatnot. So what are you thinking? What's kind of timeline still? I'd like it for July, so.
Oh, yeah. The structure will be done by then. The big question mark is the grass.
Yeah.
So they haven't planted grass yet, right, or in the front lower bowl, so to speak, of the amphitheater, because of all the trucks and stuff that are driving through there. So I can't give you the answer for sure because it's going to be up to the city, as far as booking and all that.
Right.
But the structure itself will be done here in, the next couple months. So it'd be more than ready by summer. But like I said, it's more of a question about the grounds and whether they're ready or how they handle that. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle that.
Yeah, and I've been in contact with all of them, so that's good. The only other thing that I want to tell everyone is that if you have kiddos ages grade 1 through 5 who are interested in being a part of a production, we're doing a version of Snow White. It's a 20-minute show. And we are hoping to fill two groups of 20 now that the guidelines have shifted. Right now we have about 15, and so we're just looking to fill it up. So go onto our website and it has all the information.
I mean, I remember hearing about the grass. Can't you do like artificial?
You got to talk to the parks folks at the city, Josh. It's up to them. So
I mean, I love the look and smell of fresh cut grass, big grass guy, but maintenance. So, you know, I don't know. For when, you know, the parties are happening down there on the at the amphitheater, really excited actually having concerts and events and shows. Vincenzo, that's maybe a good question for you. Have you heard any feedback on when they're going to be allowing, when we're going to be able to sit down on the grand and watch something, anything?
Oh, no, we have no idea. I mean, if it's up to the people in charge, we're going to be the last things open. So we'll see how that all pans out. But, you know, we will keep doing what we need to do. And I think that it's starting to seem like it's getting more and more loose because of good things happening with the numbers and whatnot. So we're hoping for the best. But we'll see. I don't know. I had one other question, sorry, to kind of bombard, but Shereen, when do, like, new, if people have applied to be a part of the Downtown Advisory Board, is there, like, a certain time or like, when do they get approved or not?
I think we talked about this before, because you had somebody from your Enlightened Theatrics that had...
from the Grand.
Yeah, submitted an application also. So the boards and commissions meeting group meets when it used to meet. So that timeline is dictated by them, probably based on what they have to review. I know right now there's a lot of interest and expectation that boards be as diverse as possible. And so obviously we have a board that it would be nice if we had probably more age diversity, gender diversity, ethnic diversity. And so I think that that is part of what they're hoping to try to encourage now when they're building the boards. And no offense to you gentlemen, but we are heavy in one gender and in an age group. So, so I
like puppies.
Well, and you know, everybody brings different things to the table depending on, you know, those different categories. So I think that might be playing into it too.
Yeah, I mean, that was my big thing. I mean, again, not to put anyone down, I was just like, well, we got a lot of guys in here, so maybe we should get some more ladies, some other people.
We have two vacancies, right?
We have two what?
Vacancies.
And, you know, I think we have
three.
Or is it three?
We have Hillary's, and we have Dana's.
And Brad's.
That's right. I see Brad's name there, so I don't. Mm-hmm. I think if he's still on, but yeah, Brad's.
Oh, okay.
And then we have to think about those individuals that will be terming off too. Aaron leaves us at the end of the year. So, you know, I appreciate those of you that, you know, outreach and try to encourage people to think about being on the board. It's appreciated. So yeah. Does that answer your question, Vincenzo?
Yeah, I guess it's just dependent on that other committee.
I never even attended one of those.
Okay.
But my sense is that they call them.
Okay, yeah, I'll just let...
Things to do.
Yeah, I'll let her know what that process is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else have something exciting going on? I can tell you a couple things that I know about. So it's been a while, but, you know, Marquis bought that site next to Pringle Creek, close to where the amphitheater is going in. And there's, you know, obviously they had to deal with the bank and opening things up and trails and so on and so forth. But it's my understanding that they're going in for a pre-app on a 72-unit rehab, and that's for people that are coming out of, let's say you got your hip replaced, and so you need time to recover, but the hospital doesn't want you in the hospital, so you go into a rehab facility. Same with if you have some type of maybe a brain injury or something where you don't necessarily need to be in the hospital, but you need time for rehab. You go in, that's what Marquis does. So it looks like they're moving forward with their 72 units of rehab and then 3,900 square feet on the ground floor of retail commercial. So the good news is I think that they started that in 2015. So it's been, you know, sitting there a while. So it'd be nice to see the cranes and the construction workers down there. I also, it was kind of a fluke, but I went up to look at the, I've been in the building a lot because it's been vacant. I never occupied it. Next to Grocery Outlet going west is a building, 910 Front Street. It was where they made ice in the old days. It's a huge, Josh knows it. It's a huge building inside. The owner that bought it had a goal of wanting to put a women's athletic facility in there and a roller skating rink, but that didn't pan out. And so there's another developer that bought property. Rebecca, how long have you been with me? 4 years? That was our first kind of meeting with somebody from the outside. He controls that property. He's doing part of it in memory care and part of it in assisted living. Well, he just gave notice to people that are in a building that's on that property right now that will be taken down. Excuse me. And so that seems to be moving forward. So the person looking at buying 19 is a potential owner user of it. And that would be another thing that is happening in the midst of all this. So that is very exciting. The other thing I wanted you to know is, I think I've shared with you a couple different times that I try to keep in touch with those property owners that are sitting on totally vacant or buildings with a lot of vacancy or a hole in the ground, just to check in to see if there's anything that we can do, if we can help. And so what we're doing next week is we're inviting those representatives from those properties that are in that kind of midtown quadrant, Nordstrom's, Salem Center, Rite Aid, TJ Maxx, Penny's, Liberty Plaza. We're going to have a 90-minute conversation with them to see what their vision is, how things are going for them, give them an opportunity to meet each other, and to see if there, again, anything that we can do to help in any way. So I'll keep you posted on that, because I know I've talked to some of you about it. I look at it as an opportunity because there's so many in the same kind of area that if redeveloped with some kind of a theme, we talked about it last time, it would be pretty cool. But that is a lot of vacancy. So, you know, you could look at it as a crisis or you could look at it as an opportunity, and I'm going to look at it as an opportunity. So I'll let you know how that goes after next week. And then my final thing is, I know you guys are going to be really sad, but we don't need the 25th meeting this month.
Dang.
Huh? Yeah. I knew you were going to be sad. So anyway, for planning purposes, we wouldn't have the meeting because we had this one in order to get the budget recommendation in on time to Cali, but we won't be having one on the 25th. And then we'll just go back to our regular schedule in April. It would be the fourth Thursday, the 22nd.
Wonderful.
That sound good? All right.
Well, if there's nothing else, I would move that we adjourn.
Oh, Josh, I had one thing for Aaron. I never forget what people ask me. You asked me about the landscaping by...
Oh, yeah.
So I got the answer. They did it. McMinimums has their own landscaping people. And it was interesting because it's a thorn bush garden.
Yes.
And the manager said they had so many people ask about it. And when she said thorn bush, I'm thinking, well, that's an interesting plant. But again, I just didn't want you to think I had forgotten, because you wanted to know if the city did it or if they did it.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Thanks.
Yep, you're welcome.
So Aaron, you might have to put thorn bushes in other building structures as part of your landscaping.
Well, I will say McMinimins usually has pretty cool landscaping, so I'm sure it'll look good in a couple of years.
And I do want to say directly to you, Aaron, that if you so have time and would be entertained to come and join us, even if you leave us, the Downtown Advisory Board, your insight would be incredibly helpful.
Sure, of course. Maybe I'll be like Dana and hang around for a little while.
That's what I'm asking. Be Dana and hang around for a while.
Or Brad.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Don't go that far, Aaron. Don't go that far. Hey, I'll add one quick little note, just a little economic update on our side. We you know, the pandemic continues, obviously, and I know this group doesn't need to hear it, but, you know, it's great that things are opening up, but continued support of downtown is huge on the restaurants and the businesses down there. As someone that's seeing a lot of the numbers, it's scary at times, but things are really looking positive, which is great, but they just need continued support from everyone. I know you guys already do it, but... You know, the more we're all telling everyone we know to keep coming downtown and shopping downtown, it's making a good impact. You know, our little bank, you know, normal month we would do, you know, $20-30 million in loans, whatever, and we ended up doing $90 million in the first round of PPP, and we've done almost $40 million in the second round. And you know, that's the vast majority is right here in downtown, and so there's a lot of stimulus money that's coming in. It's great. We love to be, you know, a partner in that, but there's definitely still significant stress around. So we hope that everything, you know, we all want to get out and enjoy the restaurants and the theater, and want to get out and support everyone. But just, you know, the more that we can be talking about it and drumming up the interest, it's going to go a long ways. You know, we're actually at a point where we have two positions posted or expanding our team and hiring to just keep up with it, which is a great thing. You know, and so there's some good growth going on in the midst of this, which is great. On the residential side, there's, you know, still pretty low interest rates. In the housing side, in the commercial market, a lot of lenders have tightened up, just fearing what's going on, and potential appraisers are nervous. It's Tyson can attest to in terms of what's going to go on the commercial side. We see that numbers coming in lower than anticipated almost across the board, but it makes sense. You just don't know what's going to go on. When we got through the first round of stimulus, no one anticipated a second round of PPP, and yet there we were. And so then it's that maybe if anything takes a dip for the worse, there's a third round. You never know. But the more we can just continue to pay for and support our debt vendors and businesses, it goes away. So we've seen the waves of when the pandemic hit things, and then we've seen our community rally around it. And it's been a really neat thing to see. So just my quick spiel on things look pretty positive right now, but without, you know, everyone continuing to go out and support them, you know, it doesn't always go that way. So I just excited for our downtown and just hope to see continued investment and continued support for the businesses. So appreciate all that you guys are doing for advocating for downtown.
We appreciate you too, Brad, Brad and your bank. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, Brad.
Yes, thank you.
Well, if no one has anything else to contribute, I would say that we are good to adjourn.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good weekend.